I'm Chris.
I'm Buddy.
And I'm Karen. Welcome to the Business Experience.
Now it's time to meet your hosts. Dr. Chris Alexander has founded over 5 businesses. Kara Turner is the founder of a B2B marketing agency. And Buddy Powers has perfected the product development and commercialization process. Let's get into the episode.
So today we're talking about good management techniques, but mostly talking about when to hire and when to fire. So I tried to look at some statistics and it kept pulling up house fire statistics. I'm like, it's not exactly what I'm going for. But one thing I did see was that one website said that when you fire someone, it can cost up to 200 times that person's salary.
Like, just the angst it creates in the organization?
Yes, and then like trying to find someone and rehire them. I think that's probably more for like more lower level general labor type jobs. I wouldn't think it's 200 times an engineer's salary. But it does cost a lot because you put a lot into the hiring process, training them, all of that stuff, and then for them just to leave. I think I read another statistic that said, I think 36% of people, new hires, don't make it past a year. That's a pretty high percentage. Yes, but that again is probably lots of industries taking into consideration. So I think as a good manager, it's very important that you're responsive and you have a good pulse on the company, because you do know when you do need to know when you need to hire and when you need to let people go. I mean, there's been so many times in the last 10 years that the economy just really starts dropping out. And those companies that waited too long to make the cuts that were necessary, I mean, that cost a ton of money.
Right.
So what have you learned about this and your work experience of working for another company and then also starting your own company?
So we're going to talk primarily at this point about the hiring part, or you want to get both of them?
Let's talk about, let's be positive and talk about hiring.
Yeah, we'll start positive and negative. So we had our annual, we had our first annual shareholders meeting yesterday, which was kind of exciting. And so we said, we're in our new conference room here. And so one of the things, I love data. I love spreadsheets. I'm not sure I have a beautiful mind, but I'm always thinking about numbers. And so I had looked at our data since we started hiring people in 2019. And I looked at our growth in that time period. And it was crazy. The numbers are exactly the same. So since 2019, we've grown at our revenue's grown 40% a year. So I was like, hey, that's good. That's a very healthy growth. It's almost, you know, breakneck pace. Then I looked at, I made another graph, and it showed the number of employees that we've had since 2019. We've grown at 40%. So I'm just saying there's probably a relationship, especially like in our line of business, is that your ability to grow a company is proportional to the people that you have.
Yes.
Because what happens is if you just stop hiring, you know, the problem is the people that you have, they get overloaded. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of the coin is it's possible to overhire. And I've watched companies that have done that. And then all of a sudden you don't have enough work to do and you're superstars. There's nothing left on the bone for them to eat, so their bonuses go away. And so eventually, so there's a very careful balance as leaders that we need to have. I tend to err on the side of probably everybody working too hard, because I'd rather people get bonuses and be profitable and those kind of things rather than over hiring.
Yes. I tend to lean to working very hard for a certain period of time, and if things have not slowed down, then we need to hire someone else.
But there's that cycle.
Yes, because I worry about people getting burnt out.
Yeah.
I think I read something once that said in consulting companies, which we're in, that up to 70% of revenue can go to salaries.
Yeah.
Because you're basically, your people are who your company is.
Well, that's probably right. I mean, a good rule of thumb in a consulting company is a third goes to salaries, a third goes to overhead, and a third goes to profit. So if you're doing bonuses and things like we do, it's 67%, which is very close to 70%.
Yeah, definitely. So, Buddy, you've done lots of hiring and training and teaching salespeople. What have you learned in all that?
Well, you know, listening to you all talk, I can tell you are running an organization. I kind of focus on the individual. So, you know, my thoughts on this were, you know, have a good job description, built goals, have a lot of clarity around what they can be expected in the role. You know, the key to anything is experience. And if you have experience where you're interviewing someone and you're thinking about, you know, are they a good fit in your organization? You have core values that you go by, but also, you know, what is their family life in like? And what's interesting is that the legal side of this prevents us from really getting to know that. But if you look at the statistics, that will determine a lot about how well a guy will do or person will do in their organization.
Yeah.
So you kind of have some obstacles there to overcome on the hiring side. But if you have, you know, some really good, you know, preparation tools, you know, good, I think I forgot what type of behavioral questions. And then also, you know, their experience, you know, in college and things that are legally accurate that you can ask them.
It's good.
Yes. I like, when I'm hiring someone, I like to look and see what they did in college besides just getting their degree. Right, like, right. Were they presidents of organizations? Did they work full-time? Did they volunteer at stuff?
Did they bartend? Yes.
That explains so much. Can you make me a dirty martini?
Yes. But not here. Like, yeah. here.
With a water bottle and a Coke can.
Yes,
exactly. He's good.
I could do the little flip the Tom Cruise.
But I think when you get people who are motivated, I went to school full-time. I took 15 hours a semester, and I worked 40 hours a week. Like, I worked full-time when I was in school. So I think just when you find people who have the drive and organization
right.
to be able to handle all that, it says a lot about someone.
It does. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. I think job descriptions are really important. I think because that really does, like, set the standard of how they should behave. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the point of you do have to let someone go, that job description is going to be key to it.
Yeah.
Because you've already set the standards.
I heard a story about a guy who was a very successful CEO, and what he would do before he hired people, he'd just take them out to dinner. Because mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much you can learn from dinner. You learn how they will tell you things. There's something about breaking bread. I think it's the reason Jesus had a lot of meals with people. People are very vulnerable is one. The other thing, you see how they treat the wait staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they're respectful and very engaging, if that's part of your culture. Just the other thing is people are probably more likely to share personal things. Because I think the questions that we want to ask, and I do not like our legal systems, like, well, you can't ask this, this, and this. It's like, well, those are really important things, right? So if someone has good values and a lot of integrity, sometimes when you take people out to dinner, it just reduces that increases the level of vulnerability, which I think is really important. It helps you in the hiring process so that you don't have to do the firing if you do well on the hiring side.
Yes. I think that's key. As a leader, I feel like if I have to let someone go, it's a failure more on my part than on their part.
Right.
But, buddy, I'm sure that you have walked alongside struggling employees in an attempt not to let them go. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you can work through someone who's having a hard time.
Yeah, I may not be the best guy to ask that. You would think I was...
Do you just fire them?
Is no, I was... One of my mentors early on liked Jack Welch, and if you know anything about him, he would fire the bottom 10% every year, no matter what.
Yeah, that's ruthless.
And he would come at them and say, I'm doing you a favor, and here are the reasons why I'm doing you a favor. You're going to be successful other places, and he would go on and reasonably say that this is, the for whatever reason, some are in your hands, some are not in your hands, you're just not meeting the standards that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give other people shots, we're going to do something different. But at the same time, I'm also, you know, one that is an optimist, and it goes a long ways with people. So I struggle with PIP, which is a personal improvement plan, where I've had bosses tell me if you put them on a PIP, they got about a 10% chance of making it through. I do not like that. So I kind of stay away from PIPs. If I'm going to put someone on a PIP, knowing that I'm managing the decline of that person and I'm trying to get them out the door, which I have seen before, that's really not a good place either. So cut them loose fast. Make your decisions fast after you've put the time and effort into, you know, getting to where you need to be to make that decision.
I agree. I think as managers in general on anything that you need to be able to make decisions quickly. It costs too much money when you drag your feet, or it just then the company culture starts to decline. It's even if you make a mistake letting someone go, it's better than making the mistake of keeping someone on that you should have let go.
Right. That's it.
So, Chris, what do you think
Jack
about
Welch,
this?
Welsh, by the way.
Oh, I do? Yeah. Gosh, am I ruthless?
Yes.
Well, you're either ruthless to the individual or ruthless to the organization. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. The organization is always the most important.
Yeah.
So, of course, I got a book. I got Good to Great. And there's a section here. One of his main themes is getting the right person on the bus and the wrong person off the bus. So that's kind of the essence of what we're talking about. So I got a couple things. I love this topic. One is you need to define core values. So as an organization, like our core values at ADV are treat, trust, resourceful, encouragement, accommodating, and teamwork. Everything we do, when I get home at the end of the day, it's like, how do I do on those? It's part of our DNA. We talk about it in meetings, probably to the point where employees kind of like, golly, those core values, but there's no doubt they know what they are.
Yeah.
So I was looking, since we started the company, we've had about 30 people, and there are basically 5 people that we've let go or they've left, right? And they were people who, there are a couple of people that left, but they were probably going to get fired anyway. And as I go back and look, every one of them violated at least 2 of the core values, okay? So I think that's something you have to define as an organization, what it looks like. The other part is, and I agree with you, Kara, you need to make a decision quickly. And so once you've decided that that person is not a good fit, don't feel guilty about it. And I agree, buddy, with yours. I've seen very few employees. As a matter of fact, in 30, we've had one employee that we had some problems with, and we sat down and we talked to him about it, and he turned into be a superstar. So, I mean, out of all of my years, I've got one. I've probably been involved in managing probably 150 people over the past 25 years. I've got one in 125, so that's not very good. So once you decide that you're going to let them go, I think we have a leadership team, so we talk about it, and then they're like, okay, we're going to do it. You're going to let them go. One of the things that we've started doing, because like you said, Karen, when you have to let someone go, it's our fault because we're the ones that hire them. So I got this from Reed Hastings' book with Netflix. We have a very generous severance package. And so we had a young man that we let go. He was a great guy, very respectful, but he just wasn't a good fit for our culture. So we basically gave him 3-month severance. Uh-huh. Okay, so what that does is it's a graceful way to let someone leave. And you let them out the door, they've got 90 days to go find a job. Most people can go find a job. Uh-huh. So there's a couple reasons. Number one, that's a graceful exit. The other thing, too, is when they leave your company, they're like, you know, that company, I'm not happy that they let me go, but at least they were nice about it.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
So it costs us a little bit of money, but you know what? It's our fault for hiring somebody that wasn't a good fit anyway.
Yes, I agree. I think that is very generous. As someone who does not have a leadership team because my business is so small, what I do is I come to like you guys and explain the situation, basically find a trusted advisor that you can talk to about it and talk through the situation, because it's hard making those kind of decisions on your own.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a leadership team, you can always go to someone that you trust and just kind of give them a little bit of the situation. They don't have to know all the details and get their opinion on it.
So I'll throw one other thing in there, because I don't want to dominate, but when I was in high school, and it's a little bit morbid, but it's kind of part of my DNA. So when I was in high school, my grandfather was over about probably about 250 engineers at some point in his career at General Dynamics, and they were actually building the F-16. And I didn't find out until recently, he was actually a test engineer over all of these engineers. So you can imagine the stress in a billion-dollar fighter program when the things didn't go well. So they got the airplane out on the end of the runway and, you know, some linkage breaks. Well, they got to bring it back in while all the generals are watching. So my grandfather did not handle it well, and he became an alcoholic and just was super stressed out all the time. Well, in the 80s, when the defense industry tanked, which was when I was in high school, he had to let a lot of people go. It literally destroyed him. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, you know, I was a high school kid, so you're kind of oblivious to stuff. But as I've gotten older, my dad's told me stories. It destroyed him to the point he literally drank himself to death. So I remember as a 16-year-old, my dad kind of starting to tell the story to me. And it affected me in a couple of ways. But one way was, if I was ever a manager and I had to let people go, either because the economy was bad or they were performing poorly, I was not going to get stressed out about it. You know, mm-hmm. And so I've been able to do that. You know, once again, I'm 54, so that was almost 30 years ago, is I do not let it affect me. And I think one of the challenges, and if you're listening or watching this, one of the challenges managers have is they have all this angst of letting people go. We've all been part of companies where people should have been fired, you know, and I came from a company, there were probably 50 people that should have been fired because they weren't doing their job. But when management doesn't let people go that need to get let go, the problem is, like you talked about earlier, it destroys the culture of the company, you know, and it's actually healthy because what it communicates to everybody is there is like, management takes this stuff seriously. Yeah. We need to be busting our rear ends and working hard.
Yes, exactly. And you have that sense of urgency to get good work out.
And the leaders are the ones that have to do that. Yeah. It's not somebody else's responsibility. At the end of the day, we're at the point of the spear.
Yeah, I'd like to add to your point about the personal impact, because when my father lost his job in the mid-80s with the oil crunch, I watched a guy that worked 60, 70 hours a week, was offshore at least 4 or 5 times a month, you know, developing the platforms and actually getting them up and running. And then when the price per barrel of oil tanked, we lost everything. You know, it was like, it had a huge impact. So I knew I was going to be in the oil and gas industry, and I'm blessed to be in the pipeline space because it's relatively consistent. But I also knew I wanted to be in sales so that I could control, you know, my job security.
Yeah. In a weird way. You weren't depending on what happened.
Exactly.
That someone else did.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And the impact it had on my family was very small because he got back with the same company within 18 months. You know, but we still lost our house, and it still, you know, stuck with me for a long period of time.
Yeah. It's funny how those experiences we had as adolescents, we go to the grave with those.
Yes.
It's part of our DNA.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing that I find interesting about management in most companies is that most managers have no formal training in management. I heard something once that said people get promoted to their highest level of incompetence.
It's called the Peter Principle. Isn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Does that mean we've all been promoted to our highest level of incompetence?
I felt that way before.
I feel that way often.
Imposter syndrome combined with the Peter Principle.
Yes.
I used to have a mentor that would write the names of the people that he had to either let go or didn't make it in the organization. And there were a lot at that point in time. But the point is that he never let that go. He always had their names. And so he had a big calendar on his desk, and he would write their names on this calendar just to kind of remind them. I don't know. It's just the you know, the impact that, you know, if we make a tough decision or you have some kind of, you know, you're not going to just throw people like they're, you know, wasted, you know. Wasted.
It's not just a transaction. Yeah. There's someone behind every decision. Yeah.
Are there any books on firing people? Have you ever read any?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's trainings and, books. Yeah.
You want one?
Probably just to know what not to do.
Well, and I think a lot of these books, like Good to Great, just talk about creating a culture where people can be successful so that when people don't work out, you know it's not the company.
Yeah.
Right? It's the individual.
Yes, I will agree with that. Yeah. All right. This has been a long one, but let's do this real quick. So what is the toughest thing you've learned in your management experience, just with managing people? It probably has to do with firing. That's a hard thing.
Yeah.
Can you think of something, Chris?
Yeah, and I probably should spend some more time thinking about it before. I think part of it is, as a leader, not taking things personally. Don't be codependent, you know. And so is, you know, when you present something to your leadership team and it may involve either hiring or firing someone, as a leader, just to be open to their opinions, right? So I think I've had to change in the past 3 years is like, I really value the consensus of the leadership, and it takes pressure off when we have to hire someone or we have to fire someone just because there's that leadership consensus. So I think to me that's something I've learned, is build a leadership team that helps you make tough decisions.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. What about you, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, that I'm walking along with Chris through this process, and it's been great. But I think some people need to work on their delivery and self-awareness in some cases. But at the same time, we are valuing what's coming out, the context, and what they're saying. There's value there. If you can overlook, you know, the emotional piece of it, and whether they're, you feel like they're disagreeing with you or pushing back, it doesn't really matter. What matters is what they're trying to convey. You know, from managing, you know, just overall the experience, you can have a tremendous impact on people. And I think I've said this before. This is like 18. Number 18, unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a lot. We talk about a lot of stuff.
But when you go to like our open house and I saw four or five people like come that I used to manage, and they came to come see me, that was really good. And all of us. But I mean, you know, when they come by, they want to come by. It's a great feeling that you can have a really good impact on people in that role.
It's so awesome.
Yes. I have learned that as a manager, you can't have a bad day. You say that often.
Yeah.
You always have to be on point. If you have something tough going on at home or in your personal life, like, you just can't let that affect business, because your mood can bring the whole company down very quickly.
Yep. Cool point. Excellent.
That's a tough one, I think.
Yeah.
It's harder to do some days than others.
Yes. Yes. Well, I think this was a great episode. We went over lots of stuff. I feel like there's lots of really great practical advice that people can put to use in this one. So thank you for joining us. Join us next time and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. See you then.
Bye.